Welcome, everyone, to our vodcast. On the 26th of April, we celebrate World IP Day. It's a day dedicated to raising awareness about the importance of intellectual property, or IP, as I'm going to refer to it. And this year's theme is IP and music, feel the beats of IP. And it's basically highlighting the crucial role that IP plays in the music industry and emphasizes the importance of protecting the rights of artists, composers, producers, and performers, because when people are protected, they feel empowered. When people are empowered, there's innovation and creativity, and obviously those two things really drive the music ecosystem. So it's quite an awesome topic that they've chosen for World IP Day, and it's something that I personally could talk about for days, but we don't have days. So let's get straight into it, and we can go around the table and introduce ourselves. So from my side, my name's Tammy. I am a director and attorney at Kish IP, and I specialize in trademark and IP litigation and dispute resolution, and that includes copyright dispute resolutions. And that's obviously quite relevant today because we're going to be talking a lot about copyright and how it relates to protection and enforcement of creators and performers' rights in the music industry. So maybe we can go around starting with you.
Hi, Tammy. My name is Abby Newrock, and I am a vinyl DJ. So I'm not so much a producer faced with copyright infringement, but I do very much respect the need for copyright laws and for protection and for royalty payment and for fellow incredible producers to be making things for me to therefore play. So lovely to meet everyone.
Hi, Tammy. My name is Avi. I'm a music producer and DJ from Joburg. I've been producing music professionally now since 2018 and DJing as well from 2018. I'm released with 12 to 13 labels locally and internationally. And I'm very excited to talk about music today.
Awesome.
Cool. My name is Nkateko Maluleke. I'm the general manager of the Music Arena. We are a music one-stop shop, so to say. We have a record label, we have a publishing house, and also we have a content distributor and aggregator called CCA.
Awesome. It's lovely to meet all of you guys. And as much as I'm going to try and educate you guys as well as the listeners on IP and music, I feel like I'm probably going to learn a lot today from each of you. It's an amazing topic that we're going to cover. So I wanted to start off and discuss the creative process that composers or artists or producers take when they are creating their next musical piece. And anybody who feels like they can answer the question must jump in. But can somebody take me down a creative process road, what that looks like, and then whether or not you ever consider how your work is protected, whether it's protected, or do you take steps to protect it?
Sure. So being a producer electronically, it depends on the person specifically what your creative process is not necessarily a go-to. Personally, I like to first see which record label am I working with. That way, that helps me, you know, single down what kind of song I'm going to be making and the style and the genre, speed and all of that. And then when I'm working on the music, you know, it's about emotion, finding out the right message that you want to send that also relates to the record label itself and their audience. And then if it's got to do with like a remix project or something like that, you follow the criteria that they've asked for. So yeah, as a producer, we enjoy having enough material to work with, whether it's free based or you create it yourself through sound design or recording your own samples that way. And through the whole process, you know, you just got to make sure that you're not referencing anything that already exists. So most of the time when I'm done with the song, I'd Shazam it to see if it pops up as anything.
Oh, that's
and yeah, so that way I know if I am like stealing a riff or a chord progression, I can just change it up or try something else. So yeah, as producers locally, we have a lot of, you know, access to information. We just need to make sure that that information is not owned by anyone as well. And once we're done with the project and the label is happy, then we normally get our contract sent to us, and then we can see what, you know, the nitty-gritty stuff is from there. Yeah.
I found your choice of words quite interesting. Now you were saying, so you Shazam to see whether or not you've stolen a riff or something. Yeah. But, and it's interesting because, I mean, you could go through your whole creative process and not have thought about anybody else's music. So you're not actually stealing.
Yeah.
Maybe you've drawn some inspiration from somewhere, but there isn't actually like this act of theft.
Yeah.
And something similar could actually exist out there.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's where I guess the topic of copyright and IP protection comes in, because there are so many like creative outlets and ways to express yourself, it's not inconceivable that somebody might have come up with something similar.
Similar, yes.
But unintentionally so. And that's actually okay. I don't know, Abby, when you're performing, is there, are you using works that you create yourself or are you using existing works?
So my creative process is obviously different because it's not for a production purpose. It's for a curation and a storytelling purpose. So my creative process will start from digging in crates online through collections, kind of putting together a story in my mind to create, you know, the final piece for wherever I'm going to be performing, in which case I'm Samra registered to perform these tracks that will be therefore, you know, legally played. Also, if I'm deciding to release a mix that I've done or that I've created with the records that I've chosen, I'll obviously be mindful of where I release that mix, not monetizing from it. So I'll put it on SoundCloud, or I'll say, you know, this is an unofficial kind of remix or unofficial edits. It's not for monetary purposes. Yes. But another interesting thing that I've been part of recently is there's a new kind of holistic, transparent music streaming app called We Are One, where it's a subscription-based app where the contributors, the producers, the composers of the tracks and of the mixes get part of a royalty. So it's kind of like a, you know, I upload a mix, I list all the artists, they are Samro or Kapaso registered, the people who upload it. So it's kind of like a multi-level sharing in like an escrow account where everyone eventually does get paid some part of the royalty. So that's a very transparent way of making sure every component of this process gets their fair share.
Right.
Okay. But so from a vinyl DJ, I can't say that I have to check in with my labels, but I take care of how I'm able to be copyright
compliant.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and maybe we can touch on the sort of copyright compliant topic from the legal side of things. So, I mean, when we're talking about IP, copyright is obviously a form of IP. And in South Africa, in most cases, to get rights for IP, you need to register them. But copyright's quite unique in that it arises automatically. There's no registration process except for in the case of cinematic films, which we're not dealing with today. But, excuse me, provided there's specific requirements that have been fulfilled and your work is original, so Avi, you've created, you've gone through your creative process and you've made something, if it's original, it will automatically be protected under copyright. And copyright protects various different kinds of work. So we could talk about musical works, which is like the actual music notation.
Yeah.
Then you could talk about the literary works, which would be the actual song, like the words that you use in the song. Yes. And then there would be the sound recording, which is the fixation of the sound. Yes. So it's at the end of the day, ultimately the song that's ultimately produced. And that's what would be protected. And as I say, if all of that's original, it's automatically protected. And then the right that would give you would be the right, the exclusive right to use and exploit that work or to give permission to somebody else to do so. Yeah. And then obviously if somebody is using your work, Avi, for example, without your permission or the copyright owner's permission, that would be an infringement. And you'd mentioned during your creative process, there might be sort of the involvement of record labels. And then that sort of works toward the topic of, well, now you've got parties who make works like you. Mm. Then you've got parties who potentially own the copyright in the works, which might not necessarily be you.
Yeah.
The general rule from at least the legal perspective, I guess 9 times out of 10, is that the author or the creator is generally the first owner
yeah.
of the copyright. But there are some exceptions. So if your record label came to you and said to you, Avi, we want you to make a song about XYZ or ABC, and we're going to pay you money for it, and you do that, and they pay you money for it, so they've commissioned this work from yes. you, they would in fact be the owner the owners, of the copyright.
Yes, correct.
I just see that's the information that I think the musician or the copyright creators of today are aware of. So if you look at the social ill that people died paupers, they did not know that they owned certain works, or they thought they owned certain works, and when they die, they realize that actually, no, you don't own the works. You were commissioned to do the
yes.
work. So, but what I'm seeing as a trend with today's musician is that they know more, or they have access to more information as far as ownership of the works is concerned.
Yeah.
There's definitely a different musician that we are dealing with yeah. as compared to before.
So my side business, my other side of my life, I also own a record label where we license, remaster, buy the publishing rights to existing albums, let's say Trompies or Mango Groove yes. or Jaluka, and we reissue it to vinyl. So it's also different licensing if it's been just digitized, so digital licensing, where we will buy the rights and remaster it and reproduce it into a vinyl format.
Okay, that's very interesting.